Hello, everyone,
and welcome to the Second to None podcast, the podcast on the Believe Podcast Network that covers everything and all things SEC football related. I'm here with my co-host, Tavares King. I'm Blaine Gilmer, and Tavares, we're here to, unfortunately, for dog fans and you out there, we're here to talk a little bit about, you know, what's been going on with the fallout from the SEC championship game. I think you're finally recovered enough and opened up about that experience a little bit, talk about it. So we're gonna delve into that a little bit, talk about the college football playoffs, what's coming up in those matchups, SEC coaching hires, and then even a little bit of recruiting here at the NTK. So a lot to get to tonight.
Yeah, a good chunk to get to. Man, I couldn't make it on Sunday, brother. I was a little too sad.
A little too down.
I was in mourning a little bit, but I'm back, baby. I'm back. We're in the college football playoff. Got a good opponent in Michigan. We still got everything out in front of us. So, yeah, man, we got some great stuff to talk about. My man Billy Napier, he recruited me when he was at Clemson. He got a good, nice little hire at UF, so that's dope. Excited about that for him.
And Billy's going out and dropping bombs, hiring people already. Corey Raymond, we'll touch on that here in a little while.
Yeah, that's huge. But yeah, bro, we got some exciting stuff to chop it up about. Obviously, dog fans aren't as happy as we want to be, but hey, again, everything's still out there for us, Dog Nation. I'm still feeling great about it.
Absolutely. And two SEC, this show is all about the SEC. So two SEC teams in the playoff. Once again, that's given some people around the country a little bit of heartburn there, TK. But, you know, when it comes to people saying, you know, SEC bias and things like that. But, you know, when it comes down to it, TK, it's just the SEC, the level of play, had produced two of the best teams in the country this year. And a lot of people think that those two will rematch in the national championship game, but still a ways to go before you get there. So we've got all that to cover and more as we get going here, but we want to always say thank you. The betting lines on these college football games have already come out. We always want to say thank you to our sponsor, TK, and that would be Bet Online. Guys, Bet Online is the number one spot for basketball and football action. If you're wanting to put a little bit more action on it, whether it's Alabama minus 13.5 on Cincinnati or Georgia minus 7.5 on Michigan, you like those, you like the over-unders, whatever you want to hit, you need to head over to the new updated desktop or mobile website over at Bet Online. Sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers from the 2021 season. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. As always, we're appreciative to Bet Online for sponsoring the show. But TK, you know, it's time. We got to kind of do that autopsy of what happened. What happened in the SEC championship game? So obviously, Georgia's defense gave up more points than anybody ever imagined they would in that game. But you know, now that you've had a few days to let the emotions settle down and just kind of analyze this thing and think about it, what are you taking away from that SEC championship game going forward? If you're the Georgia Bulldogs, Georgia Bulldog coaching staff, things of that nature.
Man, we definitely got thumped. They played better than we did in positions that they had to. I think that their O-line stepped up to the test, stepped up to the challenge. Played really well, and the guy that needed to play the best played the best. Their quarterback played awesome, man. Bryce Young, I think that night won the Heisman Trophy. He's a phenomenal player, has a big arm, obviously, and on the other end of that arm, there's somebody else phenomenal in Jameson Williams.
Dude, TK, 22.4 miles per hour on that touchdown that he 67-yard touchdown, I believe it was, that he ran away from Georgia on. I mean, just give people a little bit of frame of reference how fast that is moving.
It's a different kind of speed, but it's a different kind of speed for two reasons. One, dude's got pads and a helmet on. Two, he's changing direction. So I mean, he's probably faster than that. If we're being honest, the dude can flat out fly and can flat out play. It is unreal of a talent. And it showed, dude. We couldn't cover him to save anything.
Yeah, and we both said, obviously, we both picked Georgia to win this game, and we weren't on an island. Lots of people were picking Georgia to win this game. They were 6.5-point favorite. But I think we both made it clear that we both thought Bryce Young was the best player in the country, and we said if he had the game of his life, which he did, that they would win this game against Georgia. And, you know, it's hard to – when a guy has a Heisman moment like that, TK, you know, you guys experienced, I believe, against Cam Newton that day when you played him. I mean, you just feel that momentum when somebody's in that kind of a rhythm and that kind of a zone, and there's really not a whole lot you can do about it when they're in that kind of mindset, that kind of mental space.
No, it didn't, and it shows. I mean, it's you. Like I said, you definitely have to give those guys credit. They played their asses off, dude. They played phenomenal. I think again that O line probably played their best game of the season last weekend.
But I think there's also some things, though, TK. Obviously, Alabama played phenomenal. There's also some things that I think you would like to see if you're Georgia, if you're that staff, you'd like to see Georgia do a little bit different the next time around, right? Because Auburn, one reason they were able to neutralize Alabama so much is, one, Jameson Williams didn't play the entire game. You know, he was missing for almost three quarters against Auburn, and they put Roger McCreary on John Mechie, and you know, really new, because Roger McCreary is going to be a first round draft pick. I mean, yeah, that guy's a legit corner. Georgia has good corners in Kelee Ringo and Darren Kendrick, but they're not first round draft picks. I said they're not going to be those kind of elite cover guys. And when the front seven doesn't get the kind of pressure that they're used to getting, and those blitzes get picked up. You know, I got a buddy, Brent Rons, that I work with. He works with PFF and also for UGA Sports. He said, man, it looked like Alabama for weeks had been working on Georgia's stunts and games and all those kind of stuff. Well, they picked up that stuff.
Dude, I mean, I said it earlier in the week. I said if we called it. You said it. I said it. The keys to the game were us getting to the quarterback, and when we got there, we had to head home. Obviously, dude's phenomenal. Does a great job of escaping when he had to, which wasn't that many times, but when he did it well. Even when we made him fumble, he got back on it, just a hustle play. But yeah, dude, they played a phenomenal game. But there are some things I think that we could have done a little differently to stop them, for sure. Like you said, if it happens, which everybody you said has heartburn about it, if it happens again, I'm sure we'll play a little bit more man than we did.
No doubt. And Georgia at times tried to play some man coverage, and they tried to play some matchup zone coverages. But the problem was, TK, when you got a guy like, and you know this as a receiver, especially one with speed. I mean, you in your own right, you know, 4.3, 4.4 guy, you could fly. So when you have that kind of speed and you don't get hands laid on you by the defender, you have 2-3 way go right there, however you want to go, and you're able to create in space, double moves become more effective because you have time to do the double moves. I think you'll see Georgia play some you know, cover, you know, two-man press. Mm-hmm. I think they will get in, especially with John Mechie being out with the ACL. And you know, that's very, very unfortunate because John Mechie is a tremendous player, and you hate to see that happen to a guy. But that is going to – obviously, Alabama has other talented receivers, Slade Bolden, the Brooks kid, Ajayi Hall may come and step up, you know, different guys like that. But you're not going to replace the experience and the nuance of John Mechie. I don't care if it is, you know, 3 weeks to prepare. That's a big blow for Alabama in that case.
Huge. I was sad when that happened, bro. When I read that, I was sad during the game. But yeah, man, that's huge. When you take a guy like Mechie out of the game, you know, a Batman to his Robin or a Robin to his Batman, you don't even know which one is which. It does a lot for a team. and it helps a defense a lot when you can, you know, key in on one receiver. So yeah, but just going back to how special of a player Jameson Williams is, bro. When you do have that, when you do have that freaking straight line speed, it puts DBs in oh crap mode so fast when you don't get hands on them. So they are able to do things like double moves, little hitch and goes. Because bro, if you give me a free release, that's all I can ask for.
Yeah, Hummus Hero and Spurs 5 Champ, just want you to know we're not to those pregame matchups yet. We're gonna touch on those here in just a minute. We're examining what went wrong with Georgia. But TK, I just want to you know, versus you talked about it when it comes to you know, getting that free release. Tell people how different it is as a number one receiver that's played in an SEC, you know, championship game. When you were that guy, what's the difference when you get, you know, cover two press man, cover two behind it, two over top press man underneath, and they're altering your routes versus you, you know, being able to play somebody with a cushion off of you. Like, how much more difficult is that to get into your routes?
Man, it slows everything down. It slows the timing of things down for the quarterback. Football is a game of timing. Their drops match up with our routes. The quarterback's drop matchups with our routes. So if we're getting pressed, we have to speed things up or shake a guy, make him miss, double move him at the line, single release him, stack him, and then get into our route. So it has to happen a lot quicker as opposed to a guy being off of you. As well as if you're playing cover one or cover three when they're pressed
man,
up.
Man free or
yeah, you know. When they're pressed up, you look at the middle of the field and there's a guy in the middle of the field, safety in the middle of the field. That means it's just me and you, brother. But if there's a safety over top of you, then he's got a little help. So it definitely makes it a little tougher when guys are in your face on everybody, I think. I think it speeds up the timing of the quarterback. So, for younger guys, it definitely comes into play, but man, it definitely comes into play for the whole offense.
And that's been the blueprint of the teams that have slowed Alabama's offense down. LSU did that on defense.
They did.
Florida did that at times. Of course, Auburn did that. And speaking of the college football playoff matchups, now we're going to get into that. You know, we're not going to do full breakdowns here or give predictions or anything, because we'll do that as it gets closer to it. But Alabama and Michigan. Excuse me, Alabama and Cincinnati right off the bat. One of the most intriguing matchups, I think, the entire playoffs is going to be Jameson Williams versus Sauce Gardner. Sauce Gardner has not allowed a touchdown in his entire career, TK. That's incredible with how much people throw the ball now. He's not been responsible for one touchdown against him during his career. A bona fide first-round draft pick prospect, and he's going to go up against Jameson Williams, who many people are calling the first receiver to get drafted in this upcoming draft now after recent performances, especially against Georgia there. So an interesting dynamic to this Cincinnati versus Alabama matchup.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think Sauce's job gets any easier, but I think it just gets defined. I think it gets defined because Minshew's obviously out. He's probably just going to key in and follow Jameson everywhere he goes. So that's definitely a matchup that I'm intrigued about for sure. That defense is strong, but I don't know if they're strong enough to slow down a Bryce Young and what he does, you know, through the air and on the ground, bro.
Yeah, and you know, you got Luke Fickell, who's a defensive minded head coach, of course, was a defensive coordinator under Urban Meyer at Ohio State before he ended up getting his job here, and they've beat everybody on their schedule, right? A lot of people wanted to, you know, debate whether or not Cincinnati deserved to get in, that kind of stuff. They beat everybody that was out in front of them. The committee deemed it enough to get in, and they're 13.5-point underdog going into this Alabama game. We saw that Alabama much prefers being the underdog themselves after this Georgia game and Nick Saban's yummy rat poison comment after the game. He liked that kind of rat poison, but
loves it.
I think, you know, definitely the coverage of Sauce Gardner on Jameson Williams is going to be huge. Does Alabama, are they able to get Latu and Billingsley more involved at the tight end position with Mechie being out? You know, they need Mechie was that chain mover, right? He's that guy that when, you know, Bryce Young did get in trouble, he's looking to find Mechie. He's trying to, he's the guy that gets to the sticks and finds a way to make those first downs. So I'm sure Luke Fickell and company will be thinking up different ways to do that. But I think the way to best neutralize it is you have to be able to get pressure on Bryce Young, and you have to be aggressive and hands-on with those receivers. They're gonna beat you a couple of times. They are. I mean, Jameson Williams is that good, but you have to alter his route at the line of scrimmage or within the first couple of yards, because if you let him get a full head of steam up, there's nobody on the field that can catch him, TK.
Yeah, it's over with. Yeah, I mean, you got to get in those guys' faces. And like you said, he's going to get his. He's going to get his because he's a good player. But you got to get in those guys' faces. And like we said, which I thought the blueprint to the game for Georgia was last week, was get to the quarterback and everything else takes care of itself. But on top of that, you can't just sit back and let those receivers run, or they're just going to throw slants, catch them on a run, and keep on running.
Yes, absolutely. And here's the other thing that Centerport Media down here that's watching us, so we appreciate everybody watching it. He says, everyone has a plan. It's execution, bottom line. Absolutely. That's the thing. Georgia didn't execute whatever
they played better than we did.
By any means. But when you come to Cincinnati, we're talking right now about Cincinnati and Alabama. I think one thing that can be learned from that Georgia game is you also have to be able to have a consistent running game against that Alabama team to, you know, keep that Alabama's offense off the field, right? To run a little bit of clock, time of possession. Georgia was only able to average 3.6 yards per carry, well under their average for the year. Cincinnati's averaging 5.4 yards a carry. Of course, Jerome Ford, a former Alabama player himself, I'm sure Saban might wish he to come on back. You know,
that's a cool story too.
Yeah, with their depth issues, Jerome Ford, 200 carries, right at 200 carries this year, 1,238 yards, 19 touchdowns, is a weapon. He's got 18 receptions on the year as well, so he's a weapon out of the backfield to catch the ball. So they're going to rely on the legs of Desmond Ridder and Jerome Ford here also as well to keep those chains moving. It's going to be interesting to see how Cincinnati is able to if they're able to stop the big playability, right? Because Alabama's going to get their yards, but can they stop the big plays over the top? And Sauce Gardner and their other corner, Kobe Bryant, those are two of the best corners out there. So yes, his name is Kobe Bryant. So when you have those two guys, it's you got a chance. You know, you got a chance. They got to be able to get pressure up front, be able to run the football. No different than Georgia. I mean, honestly, a similarly built team when it comes to wanting to play solid defense, run the football, be efficient on offense. That's Cincinnati's kind of motto as well. Can they execute it better than Georgia did will be the answer. But, you know as well as I do, Vegas tends to know a lot of these things. There's a reason Alabama's 13.5 point favorite, and we'll get in more to that as we get closer to give our predictions and go more in detail on some scheme things and stuff like that. Now, TK, I got to turn our attention to the Orange Bowl, where you have strength on strength, right? You got, two teams that love to run the football, be very physical on defense, have just absolutely freaks up front on the defensive line. Aiden Hutchinson for Michigan is in the Heisman, a finalist for the Heisman Trophy, even though we all know that Bryce Young is going to win the Heisman Trophy. He is a finalist, and that was some controversy with Will Anderson of Alabama when you compare those stats and things like that. But, TK, you know, when it comes down to it, this is going to be one of the most physical games that either one of these teams has been involved in all year, because it's very, very hard to run on each other's offensive or defensive fronts, and both these teams are going to want to do that. Michigan, even to a greater extent than Georgia.
Yeah, I think that this is a knockout, drag-out type of game. One that I don't think we've been in since what? And it wasn't even really like that. We just played a physical team in Arkansas, but I think that this team in Michigan is coming in here on a trajectory that, you know, they're excited about, their fan base is excited about, and it's, yeah, I, it's I think it's real.
it's real, and I think that 7.5, that's too many points, I think.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's a lot right now. I think it's going to be a little tighter than that.
I think this is a field goal game probably either way when it comes to Georgia and Michigan based on, you know, how Michigan, their goal is to, you know, just break your will, keep pounding the rock with Haskins and Corum. They're going to run clock. They're not going to be in a hurry. McNamara can do some nice things over there. I think McNamara and Stetson Bennett are very comparable quarterbacks, right? They're both able to create a little bit at times. McNamara, they're not, you know, throwing the ball is not what they want to make a living off of. Stetson, I think, is in this matchup is maybe a little bit more dynamic than McNamara, but still very similar DNAs to these teams. In fact, there's a link back to University of Georgia. Tom Crean, the basketball coach at Georgia, is Jim Harbaugh's brother-in-law, right? So wow. We're going to get Kirby Smart probably trying to put a, you know, when they go over for Christmas, Kirby may slip a bug in Tom Crean's bag or something, see if he can get some insider tips over there. Hear some audio, do some New England Patriots type stuff, you know, try to steal some info before the game. But no, it'll be interesting to see. But I'm fascinated by this matchup in the Orange Bowl. One, these teams haven't met since I think 1960. Something along those lines, or they haven't played in the Orange Bowl since 1960, but it is a long, long time ago that these two teams have played, and it'll be interesting to see what the outcome is. I am, you know, excited to see how this Georgia team responds, right? Mm-hmm. Kirby Smart called it a recentering, TK. He talked about it, them getting back to the attention to detail, those guys being like sponges wanting to soak some things up. How do you, just based on what you've seen and heard around the program, how do you think Georgia will respond? And what do you think about not only their response, but maybe that versus the mindset of Michigan coming into this game, riding high off of beating Ohio State and winning the Big Ten championship?
Yeah. I mean, you got two teams coming in, two historic teams coming in on two different notes. One that was flying high, and was feeling good about themselves and got humbled a little bit. And then you got another team that's you know, on the rise, feeling good about themselves, finished their season on a high note with a championship. So those guys, it's going to be interesting from that perspective, from that mental perspective, how those guys from Michigan come in, if they come in high and feeling good about themselves. But I from a Georgia perspective, I know, you know, those guys are going to go back to work, like you said, and lock in. And I think that they needed that. I don't think they needed it. I think that they need that mindset back to, you know, prepare for this game and finish this thing out strong.
Yeah. And there is only one precedent to refer to in Kirby Smart's time, TK, where Georgia's faced the same team twice in a year, and that was in 2017. They lost to Auburn at Jordan-Hare Stadium. They come back in the SEC championship game that year and absolutely, you know, hand it to Auburn in Atlanta that year. So if Georgia is able to recenter themselves and take care of Michigan, which is a tall task and is not even close to being a prediction yet. We're going to do our predictions down the line, guys. We're not saying that right now, but if they were able to, you gotta kind of, this is where Kirby Smart's going to kind of define himself, right? Is he able to get this team refocused and ready for this matchup? And I think this is going to be a matchup when you talk about Michigan and Georgia that is a lot about in-game adjustments, right? You've got Jim Harbaugh with formations and jumbo sets, and he's going to try to create extra gaps to defend. And how does Kirby match that? I'm sure I have a feeling that Georgia will have success stopping the run early. So how does Harbaugh counter that? You know, and it's going to be that kind of chess match back and forth. But it's going to be a pressure-packed situation, no doubt, TK. And speaking of pressure, you know, they say pressure either burst pipes or makes diamonds. And we have to give a shout out to another sponsor here on the show, Lightbox, because you can say, speaking of diamonds, guys, you can say goodbye to dull gifts, because Lightbox Lab-grown diamonds are the brightest gift of the year. Using cutting-edge technology and innovative techniques, they've cracked the science of sparkle, creating the highest quality lab-grown diamonds you can find at the light price of $800 per carat. They have the same chemical makeup as natural diamonds, but are just grown in a lab. Because of their process, they can create stones in blush pink and beautiful blue, as well as classic white. So Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the gift that'll never want to take off price, so they won't have to. They really do make any outfit sparkle. Visit lightboxjewelry.com to add sparkle to a holiday shopping. That's lightboxjewelry.com. Lightbox diamond, never a dull moment. And there's never a dull moment, TK, when it comes to the coaching carousel either. So we've touched on Georgia's loss to Alabama. We've touched on the college football playoff field and matchups. And now we're going to touch on the new coaching hires. Brian Kelly, LSU, Billy Napier to Florida.
His name is Big Bag Brian Kelly now. You can't call him nothing. No, you can't call him nothing else.
Big Bag. Yeah.
Big Bag Brian. Did you see the contract, bro?
Yeah, I mean, there's ridiculous amounts of money, a great disparity, right, between what Brian Kelly and Billy Napier are making. But, you know, obviously, Brian Kelly has earned his reputation. He's taken Notre Dame to the college football playoff multiple times, even though they got stomped, a mud hole stopped in them once they get to the college football playoffs. But Brian Kelly knows how to get there, and he has, he's been able to take the talent limitations that are there at Notre Dame because of academic standards and things like that, TK, and still making a perennial national contender, right? So the thought is, you know, the last three head coaches at LSU have been able to win titles, even Ed Orgeron, who is not known as a X's and O's guru, not nearly as maybe polished of a coach as Brian Kelly is. You have to feel like, even though he's already messed up by doing the fake country accent there at the basketball game, my family, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be a good hire for LSU because the guy knows how to coach, and he's going through some growing pains right now, losing some people off the roster and things like that. But it is very, very interesting to see what Brian Kelly's going to be able to bring to the Bayou.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting hire for sure. I think that one of the biggest things that I think will be interesting with how and what he does is recruiting down here. I wonder how well he's going to do down here recruiting. That's pretty much it. I think he might sneak a few cats that might have been lifetime Notre Dame cats.
Absolutely, you know, it'll be interesting on that. But here's what we're going to kind of focus on when it comes to LSU. Right now, they're going through the problem of, all right, so Max Johnson just left in the portal. Jake Johnson, his younger brother, who was committed, he's decommitted from LSU. DeColdis Crawford, a receiver that was committed. Yes, DeColdis. That's one of the best names I've ever – his name's DeColdis Crawford. He's decommitted from LSU. They've lost Deion Smith into the portal, who we saw, you know, go off against Central Michigan and stepped up when Kayshawn Boutte went down. You know, he's in the portal now. So they're losing some talent out of there. It'll be interesting to see, all right, is Brian Kelly able to stop the bleeding real quick and bring some of his guys in, utilize the portal, it gives and takes away, right? So what is he going to get out of it when he's losing some of these guys? He's letting some coaches go. Speaking of Billy Napier, you know, Billy Napier, the big thing down there at Florida that they had to tell him is recruiting, recruiting, recruiting. Well, you know, because
I think Coach Napier do a really good job with that. Seen it firsthand.
But what I'm saying is recruiting, 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 because Dan Mullen didn't excel at that. Well, guess what? Billy Napier goes out and takes Corey Raymond from LSU, who is a recruiting legend and now has come over to the Florida Gators to be assistant head coach and DB coach. Just talk about, you know, what kind of huge hire that is for Billy Napier.
Super huge. You got a cat that's been at LSU for a long time, coached some of the greatest DBs, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, Grant Delpit, he brought in Derek Stingley over there.
Yeah. He's got some great names under his belt, as well as he's been doing it a long time. And on top of that, hell of a recruiter. So they asked for it. They told Billy Napier to go get some recruiting, and they went and got a damn good one.
Now, for sure. I will say Florida is down to like six or seven commits in the class. They've had three receivers, Isaiah Bond decommitted, and has since flipped to Alabama. Jaden Gibson, a big 6'6" receiver, he decommitted today. CJ Smith, who runs a 10.28 in the 100 meter TK.
Sliding.
Yeah, that is like Arian Smith type speed, the guy that Georgia's at running the Olympic trials. You know, that unfortunately broke his leg for Georgia this year. But when you talk about 10.2 speed, it's going to be very, very interesting to see where CJ Smith ends up. He's actually going on an official visit to Georgia this weekend after decommitting from Florida. They've also lost Shamar James through this coaching search, a five-star linebacker that was out of Mobile, Alabama, that was committed to Florida. Kirby Smart, Dan Lanning, and Glenn Schumann were there on an in-home visit with him. Nick Saban has been on an in-home visit with Shamar James. So Alabama and Georgia trying to poach him, a former Florida commit. So Florida is going to take a step back when it comes to recruiting in this cycle. I mean, they're gonna lose out on a lot of guys and not have a great one. But when you add guys like Corey Raymond and Billy Napier, who is a super recruiter himself, they're going to get back in it sooner rather than later. It's just people in Gainesville need to have some patience with Billy Napier, because it is not going to get fixed next year. I do not see them competing to be, you know, Eastern Division champions next year. But yeah, when it comes down to it, you're going to see Billy Napier, I think, build Florida back to that level of respectability to where they're right there, you know, neck and neck with a Georgia.
Yeah, it's going to take a couple of years, I think, or a little bit of time. But he's a hell of a dude, hell of a coach, and obviously has made a hire and a step in the right direction of what their downfall has been. So I think they're moving in positive places.
Which hire do you give the better grade to? Do you think LSU got the better hire or Florida?
I think Florida got the better hire. But Brian Kelly smiling.
Yeah. I think Billy Napier long term, I'm talking about real long term, if they give him a chance, he could be there at Florida for, you know, 10 years and do some really good things. But I think in the short term, LSU is going to have much more success early on, because LSU, even though they're losing some guys in the portal right now, that's just such a fertile area, TK, that if he gets some good assistant coaches in there, he's already brought Frank Wilson back, who was there before under Les Miles and has deep connections in that state. If they're able to just get some decent, you know, recruits to add to the nucleus of talent they already had, because they were young there at LSU this year. They had a lot of young talent there. It'll be interesting to see. Now, one of the big debates is, you know, we'll see what happens with Garrett Nussmeier, right? Because if he plays in their bowl game, TK, he burns his red shirt. So he doesn't. Who knows? They may go play just a walk on quarterback and let Garrett Nussmeier not have to burn his red shirt. I mean, if you were in that situation as a player, would you want to play the bowl game now that Max Johnson's gone and you're going to get a chance to start? Or would you say, nah, just sit me out so I can save my red shirt year?
Yeah, bro. Don't do that to me. That's not even an option. Let's give me my whole year. I don't want to play one game. Let's get my whole year, brother.
Absolutely. So I think that's what they'll do. So it probably won't be a pretty bowl game for LSU, I would think. You know, if they have to play walk-on quarterbacks and things like that, but we'll see what happens here. Now, you know, lastly, when we're talking about recruiting classes, Georgia has the number one ranked recruiting class according to the Rivals rankings. Alabama's creeping up right behind them. Texas A&M is there as well. Jimbo Fisher, you know, he's going to be able to live off that Alabama win here for a little while, even though they had some other disappointing performances this year. But I think he's able to circle that and say, hey, you know, we didn't have our full complement of talent, lost our starting quarterback, had some other injuries along the way. You know, if you, Mr. Five-Star defensive end, and you, Mr. Five-Star receiver, if you come join us, just think what we can do if we already beat, you know, Alabama on a down year in College Station over there. And boy, Jimbo must really like it at Texas A&M, because there was reports out that LSU was going to offer him 8 years, $125 million to come over there. And he's obviously still at Texas A&M, so who knows how valid those reports were. But TK, Texas A&M, you got Nick Williams over there. We've talked about it before. They're starting to pick up a little bit of smoke on the recruiting trail, and you know, depending on how guys like, if they're able to hold on to a Walter Nolan, who Tennessee is pushing hard for, a Shamar Stewart out of Miami, those kind of guys, it'll be interesting to see where Texas A&M finishes up in this class.
I'm sure they're gonna end up in a good spot with Nick. When Nick at the in the driver's seat, bro, he gonna take care of that South Georgia, Florida area for sure. He gonna have
For those of you that don't know, we're talking about Nick Williams was hired away from Georgia. He was a graduate assistant at Georgia, but very involved in recruiting. And Jimbo Fisher hired him away before the start of this season, and made him a defensive analyst over there at Texas A&M, making about five times the money that he was making, and you know, five times as motivated to get out there and hit that recruiting trail.
Indeed, moving on up. That's what it's about, baby.
And you know, to your point, you know, you said getting in there to South Georgia, Deion Bowie, who's from Bainbridge, Georgia, which is the hometown of Kirby Smart. It's also the hometown of Nick Williams. And Georgia, he was formerly committed to Georgia. And about a week after Nick Williams got hired to Texas A&M, Deion Bowie decommits and ends up committing later on to Texas A&M. You know, just interesting to see how these battles are going to go back and forth in these recruiting lines, and how quickly a guy like Brian Kelly, you know, he at Notre Dame, I'm sure he's went head to head with some SEC schools for some guys, but it's a little bit different when you're there, you know, recruiting actually against interconference rivals there. And there's some interesting matchups, TK, when it comes to LSU and Alabama and Texas A&M all fighting each other for prospects. And of course, Georgia's be right there with them as well.
Yeah, we in the thick of it now. And with this transfer portal stuff, which is crazy, bro. They ain't really got that much time, man. When's the portal close?
I mean, the portal's open 24/7. It's like a Waffle House, man. Waffle House, Walmart, whenever you want to hop in that portal, you just hop in that thing.
I'm talking from a coaching standpoint. How much time do they have to recruit these cats? I think it's like two weeks that just went into the portal.
I mean, you're talking about signing day, but those guys aren't bound to signing day. They can do it whenever they want to. Yeah. The early signing day for the high school kids, December 15th. So we are a week out. A week from today will be national signing day, and you've got some battles out there. You know, Kamari Wilson is the number one, is one of the top ranked safeties in the class from IMG. Georgia's after him. Of course, Florida's after him. Miami's after him. Texas A&M is involved there. So it's going to be interesting. Now, speaking of Miami, Mario Cristobal goes from Oregon down there. So now when you talk about recruiting in the Southeast, now Miami, the U, may get back involved in it. You know, they got like guys like Ed Reed and Ray Lewis down there doing PR for the program of Mario Cristobal, having, you know, played there. He's a former Hurricane himself. So it is going to be absolutely just bedlam when it comes down to it on the recruiting trail coming down here. And there's going to be some interesting fights. Like I said, Shamar James, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, all after the inside linebacker from Mobile. You have LSU trying to hold on to DeMario Tolan at linebacker, but Tennessee and Auburn are fighting for him as well. He's taking a visit to Georgia. TK, these guys are all getting pulled in five different directions. You've been there. I mean, you've been there, and a guy, an SEC recruit. What's it like? Just give everybody kind of an inside track. What's it like when you approach signing day, you get down to it, are those coaches trying to make that last ditch effort to say, hey man, you want to flip over to us, that kind of stuff?
I mean, some are, some aren't. Some guys are different. Some guys like that. Some guys don't. Some guys tell coaches, yo, this is what I'm doing. Like, leave me alone.
And how did you handle it when, cause you committed to Georgia, you know, earlier on, didn't you, before ended up?
Yeah, signing? Man. So when I committed my junior year before my senior season, so got all that out of the way, but people still contacted me and tried to, you know, I mean, it happens, bro. They want you just as bad as they say they do. Then they're going to reach out. So
you just tell them, no, I'm done. I'm
yeah. You just either you tell them, no, you're done. You just kind of entertain them. but yeah, people definitely do that, bro. It definitely, gets annoying sometimes. And yeah.
And then one last one I wanted to talk about that involves a lot of SEC schools. Sean Washington is a defensive tackle that did not play his senior year of high school. He was out of Warren Easton there in New Orleans, a dynamic high school. But Sean Washington is committed to Georgia, but he's taking an official visit to Florida this weekend. Billy Napier trying to get in on that. Of course, they've got Corey Raymond there now, who they've just hired. He has connections to the New Orleans area, being from that LSU staff. And then, of course, Brian Kelly swung by, did an in-home, that staff trying to get in. So, like I said, it is a huge dynamic. We will have a breakdown of that as we get closer. We're going to do some specials on recruiting on our regular time on Sunday night. We'll be back for an episode on Sunday night. So do us a favor, guys. If you don't subscribe to the 365 Sports YouTube channel, it is absolutely free. Just right there on your screen, reach down, hit the subscribe button. That would do us a big help. And then also, if you like the content, you like us talking about coaching hires, you like us talking about the college football playoff, about recruiting, all those kind of things, hit a like on there. We'd greatly appreciate that. Share with the friends, of course, Second to None Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find my Twitter.
Throw some comments in there too.
No doubt. We're going to also, I'm going to try to have it set up for this Sunday. We're going to be doing a little bowl pick'em that starts on the 17th. And the winner of our bowl pick'em is going to get a little stuff from some Rowdy Wellness giveaway over there. Yes, TK has a company called Rowdy Wellness that manages, you know, CBD products, and also talks about, you know, more natural ways to you know, recuperate and heal your body, those kind of things, than some of the pharmaceutical stuff out there. So TK will be putting together a little gift basket for winner of our bowl pick'em and things like that. So make sure to follow us, subscribe, and, you know, see our Twitter handles there. Mine's at BGilmer18. At TK Uno Dos, that's TKUNODOS. Remember, the show is presented by Bet Online and by Lightbox. So we're on the streaming here on the 365 Sports Network, a member of the Believe Podcast Network. And thank you for joining the Second to None Podcast. TK, any parting thoughts you want to leave them with before we sign off here as we're getting into this bowl season and things like that?
No, man, I'm excited. For bowl season, I think every SEC team made a bowl.
Except Vandy.
Yeah.
But Vandy's not an SEC team. So.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. So I'm excited about it, man. So we'll probably talk about all of those games as well. So I look forward to doing that. And you already know.
Absolutely. So for Tavarius King, I am Blaine Gilmer. We'll catch you next time on the Second to None Podcast.